It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I showered just before the podcast so that I wouldn't stink for the listeners. It is Uncle Tony's exciting, super fun time, pop quiz, brain teaser, guessing game. Get excited. Don't worry, it's not a hypothetical. There's actually a real answer. You'll be fine. So, I'm in the store the other day, Hy-Vee, not affiliated, not sponsored. And, you know, there are like house brand things. And I was getting some shredded cheese of the Mexican variety, not the taco variety. The taco variety has weird seasonings and stuff in it. This is the Mexican one that has jack and asadero and other stuff. But I was over there and they had a new variety of shredded cheese called mac and cheese. And I was like, the fuck? And I was like, are they going to put like breadcrumbs? What is, no. Mac and cheese is a blend of two different kinds of cheeses. So my question to you is, what two cheeses did they decide to blend and refer to as mac and cheese cheese? The answer might surprise you. Play along at home. Go ahead. Guess at home too.
You want me to guess?
Yeah, what do you think they picked?
Cheddar and Jack.
Nope, 0 out of 2. Try again.
Nope, that's all you get. I tried.
Oh, come on.
What else to guess, honestly?
Those are the only two kinds of cheese you know?
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, I know other kinds of cheese, but I can't even imagine what else they'd put in there. Like mozzarella or something?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
So if you made mac and cheese, what cheeses would you use?
Would probably just use cheddar. Like just cheddar. I wouldn't use like a combination.
See, my sister said she uses sharp cheddar and I'm like, doesn't that not melt well? Which I didn't think because I thought it got kind of oily, but.
Be right about that. Yeah.
But she says it doesn't. She says it's good. The two cheese. So somebody guessed Cheese Whiz, and I'm like, yes, shredded Cheese Whiz. Yeah. No. The answer is not a fun game because somebody gave up super early. American.
That's not really a cheese, though, is it?
It is in this country. They don't call it American cheese related. They say American cheese. And this was the surprise one. Swiss.
That is a surprise.
Now, I wouldn't have guessed these in a million years, but it kind of makes sense to me. The American one, because it melts very well. And I suppose the Swiss does too. But the big thing is if you go to a restaurant and you get like fancy, like entree style mac and cheese, very often Swiss is one of the main cheeses in it. So I guess that makes sense. It caramelizes well. I guess it melts pretty well. It can have a high oil content that can fuck that up, but in general it melts pretty well. In my head, Swiss is very divisive. Like a lot of people in my mind do not like Swiss cheese. I love Swiss cheese. Might be my favorite cheese. But a lot of people don't like it, so I'm a little surprised that would be the cheese. But it, like I said, it's very common. A lot of places around here, if they have like a mac and cheese on the menu, it's got Swiss in it.
I mean, I was gonna guess shredded Velveeta, but that's not a cheese.
And also is another brand. Yeah. I believe the person who guessed Cheese Whiz, their second cheese was Velveeta.
I thought there were real cheeses in here.
Swiss is a real cheese. And by American legal definition, American is a real cheese. That won't fly in other places. And there's also versions of American cheese that are not legally cheese. But American cheese is a thing.
I wouldn't have guessed Swiss, though. I wouldn't have. For kind of the reasons you were just saying.
Yeah. I was very surprised.
Interesting.
Also surprised they felt the need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like the cheese you use when you make mac and cheese is a very important part of your identity, and you shouldn't have somebody pre-sorting that shit for you.
Okay. I mean, I suppose technically one could use any cheese they want. But
I mean, theoretically.
But when you're talking about how they melt and things, that seems to be like, I just can't even imagine someone using mozzarella cheese. Lots of people love mozzarella cheese, but it's not good for.
No. That. I wouldn't think.
No.
Well, and it does. I mean, some people do the full on make a roux and make an actual cheese sauce and stuff like that. And other people just melt a lot of cheese. You remember Danielle Thompson we used to work with? She made an absolute killer mac and cheese. And when I left the department, they made me a going away box of stuff. And it included her recipe. And I have since lost it because I am a trash person. But one thing I remember that was amazing is she would get the Cracker Barrel cheeses that you can buy, the real expensive one, and just essentially cut slices. And in the crock pot, there would be layers. So there was like cheese and pasta, and then a certain was just a layer of slices of the Cracker Barrel cheese, and then more pasta. And so that when you got into it, there were these rivers of solid cheese in between. And it was really good stuff. I told you I tried the Cheetos one, right?
Cheetos.
Mac and cheese.
So?
Yeah, they make Cheetos mac and cheese now. And I was very curious, but they only sold it at Walmart. And I was not curious enough to actually go to a Walmart. But then they put it around and I saw it in Hy-Vee. So I bought it and I had it and I wasn't sure. So I bought it and I had it again. And now I'm sure. It tastes like Cheetos. And I like Cheetos. I did not like this. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So that was a little sad. It also comes in jalapeno and some other flavor, I think, and Flamin' Hot. And I still have never had a Flamin' Hot Cheeto in my life.
Either. I would not be surprised to find out, though, that the stuff they put on Cheetos pretty much only tastes good on Cheetos. Now, you can take the Cheeto and put it on other things, and it'll be cool, and it tastes good.
Yeah, and it'll make that
taste good. But just taking the powder itself and using it without the Cheeto, I'll bet that doesn't work.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I could see making mac and cheese and baking it and like crumbling Cheetos over the top.
Oh my gosh.
That would be really good. I think that'd be
good. Wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it's inexorably tied to that structure. I think you are correct.
It feels like it is. Yeah. Feels like it is.
Hello, everyone. Hello. I figure that'll get her to leave me alone first. Nope, no good. She is at peak hunger strike right now. So she is squirrely and needy as fuck. As my cat, for those of you listening just to audio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. Oh, stop trying to delete Azure Talon's email. The only podcast in the world that is a true exemplar of the mission statement of its parent corporation, Global Malospheric Thon, that's our parent corporation, LLC. And that mission statement is convincing people we're improving their lives while making a lot of money. I am Tony.
I'm William, and this is episode 554.
And our goal today is to get through this episode in one take.
Yeah. That'd be good.
The internet didn't kick me out during my therapy session, so that's probably a good sign, but we'll see what happens. I think it's something specific to my laptop, because the other devices don't seem to have the problem. It's weird. So, for those of you just joining us, it's mostly mac and cheese on this show. By which I mean it's mostly American and Swiss. Because I'm Swiss, and he... No. We have a hat. It's magical. Has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and all the wonderful people of the world, and I mean that specifically. Oh shit, William just disappeared. Anyway, says it's still recording, so we have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and all the good people in the world write in to that email address to ask us things, or to talk about things, or to tell us things. And the hat magically forwards those emails on to us, and we read them on the show, and we talk about them. And it might just be me and Ezzy this time. I don't know. I got my phone nearby, so he'll text if it's too bad. You really got cold paws today. Is there anything you'd like to tell the class? No? You're pretty okay? Are you going to start eating again soon? We would all like that. Everybody. All the listeners would like that, right? Listeners, clap your hands if you want Ezzy to start eating again. She cannot hear you. That is sad. She's gotten to where she's very interested in other people's food. So that should be a quick distance to getting back to eating cat food. Historically. Oh, there's a text. This is no good. He says, I think the internet is finally fed up with your shenanigans. I said, is working here. In fact, I'm still recording. I'm just vamping. So, you hear about this in the news lately? You hear about this thing? No, I'm not playing that game. I saw no, I don't want to talk about that either. What are we going to talk about? You're just purring. That's not a good conversation. Oh, man. I think this is officially going to be the worst episode. There's a lot of this. I've been watching Bob's Burgers a lot. I think I talked about it before, but like, that's my jam now. It's pretty good. And there's literally hundreds of them. The first season... is a first season, but it's all right. But then it really, it's cruising for me. I'm really enjoying it. It has a lot of comedians I like doing voices on it, which help. Wait, we have a new thing from him. Well, I'm trying to reconnect, so stand by. All right, so yeah, I really like Bob's Burgers. I'm surprised it's on Hulu if you're interested. And yeah, it's weird. Uh oh. What's this? Another text. Oh, wait, that's the same text. What are you talking about? Did I get a different? No, I did. Okay. Sorry, my phone is real old at this point. I probably should get a new one soon. It's getting very tired. But cell phones are very expensive, so probably going to wait. That stuff costs a lot of money. What are other things I could talk about that William is not interested in? My butt. Let's talk about my butt. My butt's doing okay. Honestly, Trish and I both were trying to deal with sort of getting our digestive tracts on back on track, so to speak, after vacation. You know how that is. You're eating food, weird food, or you're eating poorly because you're on vacation. You're like, yeah, I'll eat 3 pans of blueberry coffee cake, which we did. There is a place in Newport, Oregon called Chalet, and there used to be a bunch of them. I don't know if there's more, but it was a big old chain when I grew up called Chalet, and it was sort of a modern family diner kind of like, compare it to a Perkins or a Caro's or what's it, a Village Inn, even a Denny's, sort of is that kind of thing. And the one at the beach makes blueberry coffee cake that you can get, and they will sell you a pan of it for pretty cheap. So over the course of the week we stayed there, we got 3 pans. Hi, welcome back. It's been recording the whole time. So I've been trying to come up with shit to talk about that you would not be interested in. So I mostly talked about my butt and Bob's Burgers. But I'm pretty sure this is officially going to be our worst episode ever.
I don't know what happened.
You know, I could have paused the recording if I wanted to, but just occurred to me just now. That sounds like a lot of work, though. Anyway, I explained the premise of the thing. So how's your week been?
Just the usual school.
Are you still vacuum sealed?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come over there. I'm just going to rip it off.
That's going to be for 2 more weeks.
2 more?
Yep.
Have you been picking at it? What's happening?
No. Well, it's 2 more weeks.
Fuck.
It just didn't take. So, I mean, I think they thought, honestly, when they were first talking about it, they didn't sound like it would be a quick process. They wanted it to be, they thought it could be, but they didn't sound that optimistic that it was going to be. And it hasn't been. So 2 weeks. So next week when we podcast, I won't even, like, says today I went to the hospital to see, you know, progress.
Yeah. Next
Thursday, I'm not even going.
They're like, we don't even want to fucking see you. Keep it on.
Forget it. Just keep you doing it. Now, hopefully by the podcast after that, I will have been to the doctor in the morning and I won't have this thing anymore, but we'll see.
Is it possible, because I have run into this before, is it possible they are pranking you? Is your doctor a new doctor that they're like, no, this is like a hazing? Because my father, I am confident, went through something like this. My father once went to a clinic and he had skin condition. And what I eventually learned that they made him do was get into a device that was essentially like a standing tanning booth, naked, with a bag on his head and a washcloth covering his junk. And you will never convince me that was a genuine medical procedure. They were fucking with a poor, confused old man, and I will never forgive them. And it was hilarious to slowly get this out of my parents as a thing, because they're like, yeah, I had to go in for this thing. It's this big old tanning booth thing. It's like, yeah. And he had to be totally naked, except that they didn't want to mess it. They made him put a bag on his head. So his head, and I was like, what? And they're like, you were just totally naked. No, they gave me a washcloth to cover my, you know, my bits. And I'm like, Dad, I don't think this was real. I think this was a scam. And so I'm starting to wonder with you. I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt now. If they add anything to this, so like, if in 2 weeks they're like, William, you got to keep it on, plus you got to wear this hat, and it's like a goofy hat or something, like, you tell me, because we'll put a stop to it. It's not, okay. People can't be fucking with my friend like that. But I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt for now.
All right.
These doctors, I mean, you can't trust them.
They're
bored is what it is. They're bored, privileged individuals just looking for somebody to mess with. All right. Besides not doing that, did you actually do anything?
Just school.
It's Halloween-y time. Have you been seeing any good Halloween-y stuff?
No.
That's sad.
No. Yeah, I mean, this thing, it's weird to walk around with. It's got a tube coming out of my shirt and into the thing, and it makes noise, sometimes rather rude-sounding noises. It's just not a thing that I want to go places with.
Have you done your research? Are you certain this device is medically necessary? It's starting to sound like they just leased you to a fart machine. Is there a small camera in it? Did they make you sign a footage release?
Yeah, so no, I haven't really been going anywhere.
Well, no, we haven't been going anywhere either, but like watching on TV and stuff.
Well, sure, we try to watch stuff on television, but it's like we've run out. You know, I mean, we can watch stuff we've watched before, but we mostly, you know, most of the stuff that's out there that has a, you know, that's good or has a reputation of being good, we've seen it.
Oh my goodness.
So, and we're very picky. I mean, I know you'll watch lots of different kinds of things.
I will watch a lot of things.
But there's a lot of things that won't pass the test. Well, for me, like Abby will watch a lot of things that I won't watch. But
some things are bad enough that I will only watch the Riff Tracks version. We watched Terror at the Wax Museum the other night. And that I don't know that I could have stood watching without it being Riff Tracks. I'm sad about this one. I watched a movie called They Remain, and I was excited about it primarily because there's only really two characters in it. There's a couple of sort of cameo things, but there's really only two characters in the movie, and one of them is William Jackson Harper, aka Chidi from The Good Place, who is an actor I very much enjoy, and he is sort of the main guy, the POV guy in it. And actually, I think the second one was Rebecca Ferguson, who I also enjoy. And it was one of the, and about halfway through, I was watching it, Trish was in the bath, and about halfway through, I get up to go to the bathroom, and I tell her, I'm like, this movie is really good, as long as they explain what the fuck is happening by the end. I'm worried. Like right now, it's very confusing, but it's cool. It's very pretty. It's very well performed. It shot beautifully. And I'm like, I'm really enjoying this unless they're not going to explain what the fuck is going on. Well, guess what? They didn't explain what the fuck was going on. So I look it up because sometimes Wikipedia tells me like, oh, they went through a time loop seemingly. And I'm like, how did you get that, Wikipedia? Where did you get that from? We watched the same movie. What are you doing? This one didn't even have a plot listed, but it did say it was based on a novella, but the novella didn't have an article, but the author did. So I look up the author. Yeah, so I have no idea. I have no idea what was going on. It still was very pretty, but I don't know what the fuck happened. So I'm not sure it was worth it. That was sad. But last night, we made up for it. Trish picked the movie, and we watched Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. 1965 crime drama thriller starring every fucking person. Olivia de Havilland, Betty Davis, Agnes Moorehead, aka Mom and Dora from Bewitched, playing a very poor, very heavily accented Louisiana housekeeper named Velma, who absolutely stole the movie. An incredibly young George Kennedy, just all sorts of people in this movie. Oh, you've frozen up. For a while, I thought you were just peering bored, but now you're not moving at all. Are you still there? God damn it. Oh my goodness, there's two of them. Okay, this is weird. Okay. Ah, there's two of you. There's seriously, like, you were there and you froze up and now you're back, but you're still there. And I can't hear you.
Can't hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yeah, stay up on that mic. I don't trust that mic.
What's going on? I don't know.
You're still up there, kind of looking like this.
Okay.
This is weird. where did you lose me?
You just got done talking about the show or the movie or whatever that you'd watched. You basically just finished talking about it. And then I mentioned that because you mentioned Rebecca Ferguson, that I'd seen Dune. And I forgot to mention that.
I didn't hear you do that. I actually started talking about watching Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. So I'm going to back up a little bit. Betty Davis, Olivia de Havilland, Agnes Moorehead, who I always know as Endora from Bewitched, playing the poor Louisiana housekeeper who's kind of crazy and sort of stole the whole thing. And that movie was insane. I highly recommend it. It is from an era where acting was measured in quantity, not quality. The people in this movie act the fuck out of it. It's amazing. It's really, and Betty Davis does not disappoint. Oh, she's a lunatic. It's a wonderful movie. I highly recommend that one. But yes, let's talk Dune. We haven't talked since Dune, so we should talk Dune. Because that's what was on everybody's mind. So how did you feel about Dune? Wait, let's back up. What is your history with the property?
I haven't read the book.
Okay.
Books? Is there more than one or is it just one?
There is a series, but the first one is called Dune. And the movie you saw covers basically the first half of that book.
And I think I've seen all of the screen things, movies, TV, miniseries, whatever. I think I've seen all of that stuff.
Okay.
But I don't recall really even understanding it when I saw it. Like, I don't really remember it. I didn't really like it. I wasn't quite sure I got what the point of it was. So that's my experience. All right. It's kind of I'll watch Dune. I'm interested in what it's about, since it's a cultural thing, but I've never really understood it.
All right. So how did you feel about this movie?
Well, I understood it. I mean, everything that happened, I could follow it. And it's like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I mean, I thought there were some things I thought they could have explained a little bit better, but I think I pretty much got it. And it's just, none of it reminded me of anything Dune related I'd seen before. I mean, maybe a couple things visually, you know, like this, what's his name? Skarsgård, the character he's playing.
Yeah, you know.
I've seen that character before. and I get that Chalamet playing the guy that, what's his name, played the
Calvin Peaks guy. Calvin right. McLaughlin.
I get all that. But, you know, outside of the visual cue saying, oh, yeah, he's that character, like, it's like I'm seeing this for the very first time and I've never seen it before kind of thing. So,
okay.
But I liked it. I thought it looked good. I thought the acting was good. I thought the story was interesting. It ended kind of in a weird place.
It really did.
But I look it forward really to seeing the next one. So, yeah. But I mean, what you've read the book and all that stuff, right?
I read the first four books in the series. The series is complicated. Frank Herbert wrote six books and that was not the end, but then he died and his son got together with a different guy and they finished the series, but not before writing a few prequel trilogies. And perhaps by coincidence, supposedly he was working off of his father's notes. the end of the series ties into some of the shit that happened in the prequel trilogies. So I don't know. I feel very comfortable in the spot at which I stopped. I feel like it was a good place to stop. I also think the first book is also a good place to stop. I think the best places to stop are after one book or after four books, or I guess read the whole thing. I have also seen the David Lynch movie multiple times, most recently not that long ago, like a few months ago, because Trish had never seen it. I did not ever see the miniseries. I think I have a DVD of it here somewhere, but I haven't seen it. I found it very interesting that this movie seemed to take a lot of specifics from the David Lynch film that aren't necessarily from the book, certain visual things. But I'm not sure on that because it's been so long since I've read the book. The David Lynch movie is crazy. If you are familiar with the property, the David Lynch movie would be frustrating because they do a lot of things not accurately. And if you are not familiar with the property, the David Lynch movie would be frustrating because they put a lot of shit in there that you're not going to know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, so it's sort of the worst of both worlds. I feel like this one simplified a lot of things and it took several things sort of out that weren't necessary for the plot. That was weird to me because to me they are critical to the thing, but you can have the same story without it. So they took some of them out, and in some cases they just took the fantastical terms made up because it would just confuse things by using those terms. It was fine. I'll probably see it was awful long. I think I'm getting this with a lot of things lately. You know, I've had this issue with Sandman lately, but this is another one of those properties that I'm like, I think I've gotten everything I can out of it. I don't think Dune is giving me any new insights or perspectives. And Dune has never been a solid entertainment kind of deal. Although, honestly, that is the reason to watch the David Lynch one. It's kind of, speaking of acting, quantity over quality, which is a joke I made earlier when you weren't listening. It's very much, they act really hard in Dune. I did think it was funny. In the David Lynch version, I think I expressed before, everybody, you know what's going on because everybody has a stage whispered inner monologue. This movie appears to have replaced that with people just speaking in different languages arbitrarily at certain times so that certain people in the room wouldn't know. Although when it was necessary, people always understood each other's languages, but then other times not. It was very confusing. Yeah, I mean, it's in your position is probably good. For me, I'm like, I'm just tired of it. It's Dune has been Duned. Dune has been Dune. I don't know, something like that. So, I mean, I'm sure I'll watch the next one because it's not terrible, but I'm kind of like, I've been here and I've seen it done, and the only real interest I get is, oh, they did it differently than that one. And I don't care that much anymore. Kind of like the new Batman movie that I'm sure I won't bother to see. Or the new damn Ghostbusters movie. Okay, my wife is on me on that. Are my wife and I the only people who could not give less of a shit about that movie? I mean, are you into it? Are you going to go see it?
Probably.
Really? First of all, it feels very spiteful. When it originally was put together, it was a, hey guys, I know those girls fucked it up, but now I'm gonna do a proper sequel. So I immediately fuck off. But also I'm just like, maybe this gets me canceled. Ghostbusters was not good enough for us to still be doing this. Ghostbusters, the original film, was kind of groundbreaking. It is not a timeless classic. Go watch it again. It has a lot of issues. It has not aged well, but it was an important seminal work of comedy. The second one was ass. It spawned a really decent cartoon series. All of this was decades ago. The recent one was very mediocre. I mean, I really want to err on the side of loving it because everybody was so hating it for dumb reasons, but it was very okay. Honestly, in a lot of ways, it was kind of a joyless one. It felt phoned in by a lot of those, and I love the people in it, but it felt very phoned in. I don't need another one, especially one where it's kids now, and Paul Rudd, because you need a grown up, and Paul Rudd's as close as they can get. Like, I don't. Why is this movie being made? Explain it to me in the comments if you're into it. Maybe this is probably me being cranky old man. It's probably young people. It's probably a Ghostbusters for a new generation. And there are movies like this where I'm like, this movie's just not for me. This movie just may not be for me, which is fine. But when I hear people talk about it, they're my age and they remember the original and it was so exciting. And they act like they're super pumped for this shit. And I'm like, why? So explain it to me. If you are also old and are excited for Ghostbusters Afterlife, tell me in the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com, your thoughts on that. Television. We're still doing Sweet Tooth. I hate it again. We've watched 3 episodes. Didn't like it. Liked it. Don't like it again. Apologies to my kitchen for flipping it off. As you may recall, the second episode I enjoyed because it showed that we don't have to spend apocalypses being like, oh, people are the worst. Ah, the true monster was humans. And then in the third episode, we were like, guess what? They are. The third episode had some frankly dumb as shit things where I was like, these humans are not only horrible, they're stupid. And kind of sadistic in a way that is meant not to be their character arc at all. You know what? I'm going to fucking throw this out here. Spoiler for a specific thing in the third episode of Sweet Tooth. So jump ahead or whatever. There's an illness. And if people get it, they kill the person who gets it. That's horrible. And I understand we're supposed to say it's horrible. They kill them by tying them up in their house, leaving them in there alive, and then setting their goddamn house on fire. Have you not seen Sweet Tooth? I thought you saw Sweet Tooth.
We tried to watch it and I didn't really like it. So
yeah,
we didn't.
The second I was so happy because they have an actual community and it still kind of works and it's nice, but there's an illness. And part of the thing is if the illness, you have to be sort of sacrificed. And I get that. I mean, it's not great, but I understand the thing. But the version they did was they tied up the guy. It was actually at his house. They were having a party, but they can tell because this is a really useful virus because it makes your pinky finger wobble. That's how you know you've got it. If they see that, it means you got it. And so they tied him up and then they didn't kill him. They went outside and burned his house down, I guess, so that it wouldn't spread. But I'm like, fucking kill him first. Why the hell are you burning him alive? And yeah, so that really fucked up a lot of the show for me. So at the moment, I hate it again, but we'll keep going. It was well liked. But started watching Ghosts on HBO Max. Very much enjoying that. This is a very fun show. And in fact, I was just going to watch it for me because I didn't want to add yet another show to the list of things Trish and I should watch. And I watched the first episode and I was like, shit, I think Trish needs to be in on this. So, because I'm like, Trish is going to fucking love this. And she did. and we're like halfway through the first season, and it's awesome. And it has several people in it I know, several actors that I know. But yeah, it's just fun. It's really clever, and it's really solid ensemble comedy.
Yeah,
which is something I love. It's not about a certain person. It's about a big old group of people, and it's just funny. It's just good. So highly recommend that. I have it on good authority from someone who may be on this podcast that the American remake sucks. I believe you can see the American remake for free on Tubi, which is not a good sign. But
we saw it. While we were doing things on our television, you know, we've got it'll present apps and whatever.
Yeah.
And it must have like promoted it, like, oh, you can watch this for free or the first two episodes or whatever. And so we did. And oh my gosh. But I mean, it's really not fair when you watch the British version of something and it's awesome. Like the American Office was not as good as the British Office.
No, although it grew into something that was its own thing.
So that could happen, but there's just key things that they change that are like, you don't get it.
Yeah, it's a very British thing, but Trish is also like, where the fuck do they have all their ghosts? Because the British one takes place in a house that has existed for many, many centuries, and therefore would have many different eras of ghosts. Where the fuck would you do that in the US?
And it's kind of like in this one, there is a guy of very ancient origin who obviously was living in that area before the house was built there.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, I won't give anything away, but he's in that specific location for a reason.
Oh, okay.
And you can do the same thing, you know, in the United States, you know, it's like, there was an Indian mound here, and
the indigenous people. Yeah.
Yeah, they plowed it under, but that indigenous person is still here, or whatever, you know, stuff.
I do like the third episode was the first time that we started with a flashback, seeing one of the people die, and I'm like, oh, I hope we get a lot of these because these are going to be good.
Good. That's good. Yeah, show.
It's just solid. It's just solid stuff. I keep switching who my favorite is all the time, but. It's a good time. So that show is very, very good. We like that. I think that's it. We're running out of time, so we probably should do some questions.
I'll just mention too, I am watching Foundation, so.
Is it done yet?
No.
All right, let me know when it's done, because we'll watch it, but we want to wait till the season's over.
I do like it so far, but.
I, in a very, very small way, have had Ted Lasso tainted for me. Just a teeny bit. And it is very difficult to explain. I'll do my best, and I'm going to be very vague. While I was waiting for season two to finish, it was a very big thing out in the world, and I got what I thought were some fairly small, somewhat innocuous hints about certain things that might happen in season two that I might not enjoy, in a very vague sense, not even any specifics, but just certain turns, certain plot lines might take that I wouldn't like. And now I have reached an episode where I don't know if it's accurate or not, but my brain starts thinking that it is seeing signs of this turn that I think is coming that I think I won't like. And that makes me unhappy and uncomfortable. And it's like one plot line out of the five in the episode, but I don't have just the straight up bliss that I have had in literally every single episode of Ted Lasso to this point. So that is sad to me. But I am also confident that when all is said and done, and I no longer don't know what to expect, the anxiety will be passed, and rewatching the show will be, which I intend to do many, many times in my life, will not be a problem at all. I've already decided I'm making Trish watch it. I'm going to make her watch it after I have finished. Because originally I was like, do you want to watch it? She's like, no. And then later I'm like, I don't know if you'd like it, but I really like it. So if you decide you want to watch it, I'll go back and start over with you. And then later it was like, why don't you want to watch this? I've talked about how much I love this. I would like, if you talked this much about loving a show, I would want to see it. It's weird. You don't have to, but I do find it weird. And then just recently after the Christmas episode, I was like, you know what? You're watching it. This isn't even about if you like it or not. This is about you're my life partner and we need to come closer together. And so I need to share this with you because it is tied to who I am. And she's like, so Ted Lasso is part of your identity. And I'm like, yes, Ted Lasso is part of my identity. To understand me better, you have to watch Ted Lasso. So, but I'm going to wait until I've watched the whole thing. Then I will rewatch the whole thing with her. But I've told her.
Are you going to get a bunch of Richmond United sports paraphernalia scarf?
Is it a real team?
No, but they sell.
I'm sure. No, but I did wonder about this. Is it a real team? Because that was weird.
I think it's funny. Their motto is slow and steady. It's in Latin, but it's slow and steady wins the race or whatever. But
their
mascots are gray. That's pretty funny.
I do love, and you get this. I got this in Pose too. They have an actor on the show who famously is very good at singing and has been in a lot of stuff on Broadway and the West End. And they are finding excuses for that actor to sing a lot in the show. Not that I'm complaining. It's awesome. But it always kind of cracks me up. I'm like, oh, the character being played by the musical theater legend has to sing a song. Oh, but I love it. It's great. No, I officially decided I'm in a different point in my life and the world is in a very different point. So I'm willing to admit there's extenuating factors that could impact this. But Ted Lasso is now my favorite show of all time. Ted Lasso is beating out Pose and The Good Place.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's just pure fucking joy in my life. And maybe I'm in a place where I need that more than but I do. And don't get me wrong, those are still the 2 and 3 spots without a doubt. And I don't know which is 2 and which is 3. They're such apples and oranges, it's hard to tell. But Ted Lasso makes me happy. It's amazing.
Yeah, just anything you can get, any type of like sports paraphernalia you can get for an actual London football club, you can get for
I am unsurprised. I am unsurprised.
It's hilarious, the stuff you can find out there. It's hilarious.
My friends, because I tipped my whole gaming group onto it, and most of them have watched it, and most of them are caught up on like me. And one of them the other day was like, yeah, went through the shop, check this out. And it's a t-shirt that just said Roy fucking Kent. And we were like, hell yeah. Yeah. All right.
Pretty good.
Let's do some questions here. This is from Stu. And it has a footnote that is much longer than the question. In the past, this would not have been allowed. But in our new format, Stu is free to express himself. How do you deal with the isolation of working from or just being at home? Stu. Footnote. There's just no banter whatsoever via chat at all. It's weird. I still get quote unquote contact in meetings and I'm not home alone, but the banter and the connections with people essentially dried up a while ago.
Banter is so important. So important. I mean, it's if after the pandemic started, your contact with people started, you know, you started to work from home and everything started to be very, you know, because you're having meetings on Zoom and because, you know, I do think a lot of times because that Zoom and Skype and these technologies and meetings kind of, you don't have people kind of wandering in for the first 10 minutes and, shooting the breeze, right? Everybody just sort of shows up at the same time or and whatever.
In some of these, because now they're doing a different format. I know where Stu works, because that's where I worked and that's where my wife works. Not everybody turns their cameras on these days.
Yeah, right,
and
it, right.
To the degree that Trish never did, and now she's kind of working on implementing, forcing her and her team to do it, because it makes a huge difference.
Right. So yeah, I think I understand exactly what he's talking about. And yeah, it's when you can't, you know, I remember meetings in offices. I remember there's always this period at the beginning where people are kind of coming in, and the meeting almost never starts on time, you know, not just because someone will show up a little late, but because everyone's kind of having a nice conversation at first. And that really kind of warms you up for the meeting, and it makes the meeting actually go better, I think. And then maybe you'll visit a little bit afterwards. It's just not just, okay, everybody, thanks, and everyone hangs up, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's valuable. Tons of little things. You get up to stretch your legs. At home, you're just walking around your house. There, you stop. I mean, Stu knows the number of times a day I would just wander over and talk to him, because I was bad at actually working. It was tons. I would go over and just entertain his whole department. But to be fair, that's been fun for a while.
Well, the whole water cooler cliche is a real thing.
Yeah.
Right? Standing around shooting the breeze, that's a thing. And I imagine that, you know, with when all you have is Zoom, I'll bet that just nothing like that happens anymore.
And it ties you to the world as a whole. When you're home by yourself, you're in much more of a bubble than you were before.
Yes, that's right.
Because you essentially get to choose who you interact with much more. Whereas work, you don't choose your coworkers, you know? My answer to this question, Sue, is that it sent me to goddamn therapy. It is, I am confident, the primary reason why I am in therapy now, because I am very isolated and there are benefits to it. But yeah, I need that kind of stuff. And the answer for me, because I anticipated some of this, and I talked to other homemakers and stay-at-home folks that I knew. And obviously, this is a step further, because you guys do still have the meetings and everything. But I think the wisdom can still apply. You have to make your own social outlets. So this is huge for me. The podcast is a big one. I mean, it's how I keep in touch with you, but it's also, you know, one of very few hours of socializing I get that's not my wife a week. My gaming group is a big one. I have a former coworker, and we get together for lunch about once a month, and that'll be a 2-3 hour long lunch, and we just go, and it's great. And it's very important to me. It makes a big difference. I work at stuff like this. I come up with excuses to go out and see other people in person. But also I want to add, you can absolutely fucking banter over chat. You need to learn how to do it, but you absolutely can. And Stu, now that I know that you are suffering, I will attempt to banter with you more over text. Because I used to banter. See, you know we can banter, Stu, because I used to banter with you over chat all the damn time. So you know it can be done, but it is trickier. It's a skill.
There's a question I'd like to ask, but I'm certainly, you don't have
you're
to
gonna,
answer.
You're going to need to email the hat. I'm sorry. No, what is it?
Lay it on. You don't have to answer it, but let me kind of put it in context. So,
I probably won't. You know I'm a very close person.
Well, one of the things that we talk a lot about in my classes, clinical mental health master's degree classes, is a telehealth and, you know, doing therapy online. And, you know, whenever I read articles about this, either in textbooks or studies or anything else, or have conversations with fellow students about it.
Subreddits.
It seems to me, I can't get away from the notion that it's it's a this doing therapy online or whatever should be something you're only doing when that's all you've got. Like the person's a shut-in, or you know, they're at high risk for COVID, or they live far away and they're rural or whatever. If there's any way that the two of you can get together in person, that's really what you should do. Now, I'm interested to know what you think, because are your sessions are online, are they not?
They are. Ostensibly, I mean, via my choice, entirely my choice.
Okay, I see.
I think there was a time period in the pandemic when it would not have been up to me, but at this point, they are doing it purely because of that.
Just in your thoughts, but of course, don't, you know, talk about it if you don't want to.
Well, no, and the truth is, I'm not sure, because I don't have the comparison. I can definitely see the argument. I mean, you know, all I have is sort of anecdotal and personal stuff. The real answer is somebody should find a way to survey this and then collect the data and see.
Of course.
Because there could be underlying things. But to me, a lot of it is going to be incredibly personal and involve your relationship with technology. Because I've experienced versions of this my whole life in other formats. The big one for me is I would do a lot of text-based socializing online since I was in my early teens, to the degree that I am incredibly comfortable with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm also very aware that there are a lot of factors that change how it is online versus in person. And I'm the one who always says how well you get along in one of those places bears no resemblance necessarily to how well you get along in the other. But a lot of it is about comfort. And you could say the same if you were doing it, say, just over the phone versus in person. And then there's another layer by doing it like this in person. I know you, well, I don't know. You seem, based on experience we had, to find a key component to be missing in our podcast between this version and actually getting together in person. I am less sure on that personally. But I mean, the same would apply. What are our podcast episodes except really elongated therapy sessions? Let's just be honest. Now, which of us is the patient and which of us is the therapist? I have no idea. We might just be two patients that accidentally got left in a Zoom meeting and the therapists are like, where are they? Did they bail? I think it's what you're comfortable with. I don't know. Now, purely for science, I want to be like, fuck it. I'm going to go in person now and see if there's a difference. I don't know, but my therapist and I have a weird time anyway.
Hearing you talk about it makes me realize that up to this point, I've completely only been thinking about it from the perspective of the therapist. Like,
oh,
if like now hearing you talk about it, I realize, wow, the client could be totally okay with therapy this way. And I, as the therapist, just wouldn't like it, because I'd feel like there are dimensions that I just can't capture this way. I don't know what it is. I just feel like there's something. I mean, I've been interacting with people online, since college, as soon as I was in college, very comfortable with it, text-based, like you're saying, but therapy just seems so, when I think of me as the therapist doing it, I just feel like there are so many things I need to attend to in an intuitive way that I can't imagine doing it online. It's like that I can't possibly pick everything up and sense everything that I need to sense this way. I can't really explain it though. I mean, like I can see your face, I can hear your voice, you know, I mean, I can't smell your pheromones. Is that what it is? I have no idea. I don't know what it is.
I feel like I understand myself better now.
No, I just, it doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel like I can do the job.
I get that. And I want to say something here that is going to sound like criticism, and it is not. No, I'm being very serious here. I absolutely understand that perspective. I'm not saying I share it, but I understand what you're saying. I think you are going to have to, in total, treat that as a shortcoming you have that you need to overcome.
Oh, no doubt about it, because this is like, how it's going to be, especially that, here in Iowa. Well,
and also you don't want to put that on the patient. Now, I think there will be patients who feel the same, and it'll be great to facilitate them as best as you can to do it in person.
Right, right.
But I don't think you should ever do it in person because you can't handle it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But I didn't even realize until just now that I was completely only looking at it from my perspective. And when you were talking about it, I realized, oh my gosh, I haven't even been thinking, well, maybe this is best for the client. Yeah.
And maybe it's not. Self. The truth is you'll run into all of them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You'll run into people who prefer one over the other, who prefer the other over one, to people who don't care. I'm kind of in a don't care camp. If I'm honest, I'm not as worried about infection anymore. And I think it's just fucking, I don't want to put on pants and drive to Coralville.
Sure, sure, right.
Which means maybe I should, just to give it a shot, just to see what it's like. But we are at the moment moving to a every 2 weeks thing with my, or we're going to try it out, because I don't have a lot going wrong right now. I'm doing okay. And so like this last time, we didn't have that much to talk about. So we're like, maybe we'll wait a little bit. Give me time to build up problems. And it's very odd. I'm very challenging to my therapist. And I finally just told her that. I'm like, I get the feeling that you have trouble with me. And she basically said, I don't know if I'm doing anything for you. I can't tell if I'm helping. And I said, I understand that, because I think you are helping, but I can't explain to you how or why exactly. Our sessions are not good. I mean, she's fine, but like, it's mostly just she asks shit and I'm like, that's the wrong thing to ask. What do you even do? Like, in my head, I'm like really kind of, I'm rolling my eyes internally. I'm like, that's not even the point I was getting at. Why are we doing it? But then at some point within the last like 10 minutes of every session, I'm suddenly like, oh, and suddenly I get like a lot of new perspective. And so it's not necessarily enjoyable, but it seems to work. And it's building over time. I find myself more and more putting specific things into practice that she discussed, or talking with someone and being like, you know, my therapist and I discussed this and we were talking about this. So that is happening more and more. So I think it's working well. But neither of us, I don't think either of us are controlling it. I think we're both a little bit along for the ride, and I can understand why that would be worrisome to her.
And
a little worrisome to me, but yeah, so. This has been interesting, but I do think she's good. If anybody wants a therapist, I can recommend her.
But in your opinion, the doing it online is not causing any issues? Or
no, nothing has jumped out. Again, I would need to go in to like really do a comparison, but I haven't felt any problem except when my internet collapses. And that is not something to ignore. Technical issues are a deal.
Oh yeah. I mean, when I read articles about this, they spend a lot of time talking about that, because that is, like you say, that's a deal.
A lot of time. And as actually my therapist brought up, the first time my internet collapsed, I was talking, go figure, and she's listening, and suddenly she just fell off of it. And for just a second, my brain was like, oh my God, she got sick of listening to me and she hung up. Just for the barest second. And like, it's me, so I got over it. But that can't be good. That can't be good for the therapy.
No.
So I'm glad. I can see why that kind of stuff would be a deal.
I'm so glad I asked you about this, because it did not even occur to me. Every time I was reading, I was just thinking, this is terrible. Nobody should have therapy online, and I was completely thinking how I wouldn't like doing it. Wasn't even thinking about the client.
I can conceive of situations where a client would feel way more comfortable doing it this way.
Yeah. I mean, I did think of clients in terms of someone who doesn't normally have access. And also clients who are agoraphobic and they don't want to,
But I'm not even talking that high a level. There's a comfort in, because, you know, for some people therapy is tough and like opening up is difficult and being vulnerable. And there's a comfort in,
sure,
I'm in my house and not here. If I wanted to get rid of you, I could get rid of you with a button press.
No, that's right. And so, yeah, I have thought of those things, and those things have actually been talked about expressly and explicitly in the literature. So I've thought about that, but I didn't really think about more like your situation where
I don't want to put on pants.
Yeah. You don't really feel one way or the other about it because, like you said, you feel like you can express yourself just fine in this medium.
Yeah.
You don't feel like there's any blocks or any kind of thing. And that's what I didn't think of. All I thought of was like the specific either emergency or desperate or related to the person's particular issues. I didn't think in just the generic
preferences.
The person's just okay with it. It's like, if you're okay with it, I should be okay with it. You're exactly right. I need to work that out because if the client's okay with it, regardless of what the reason is, I need to be okay with it.
Talk to experienced therapists about their issues with it or whatever, but it's probably one of those things that'll mostly just come with experience.
Yeah.
You'll just do it enough because that's how I get to the level of comfort I am. It's just years and years of doing it. I mean, if you do a lot of diagnosing via looking at people's toes, that could be a deal breaker. But otherwise,
I think it just feeds into maybe a lack of confidence on my part. It's like I already wonder if in a face-to-face session I'll be able to, get the job done in terms of figuring out how to help the person. And it just seems this mode just seems so much more limiting. So that's probably all it is I'm just dealing with that confidence, piece, that I think most people deal with when they're just starting out and they're like, well, can I really do this? But we'll see, I guess.
When I started in applied systems, I was nearing the end of my training phase. And they said, we're going to put you on the phone. Specifically, we're going to give you a backline call. And we're going to have an experienced tech on the call with you, just listening. And they're there to help. But you're going to call a place and deal with their issue. It's a good experience. And I said, okay. And I went and sat with a very experienced tech named Katrine, who is an incredibly tall Peruvian woman and may have been pregnant at the time. I don't remember. I just know she was pregnant a lot of the time I worked in the play. We had received a fax from an agency. And so I called the agency and I asked for the name of the person that was listed as the contact. And the woman answering the phone said, can I ask why you're calling them? And I said, I work at Applied Systems. They sent me a fax this morning about some issues they were having. And the woman on the phone said, they died 2 weeks ago.
No, that did not happen. Oh my God.
Have you fucking not heard this story? I thought I was telling a story you already knew. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It gets worse. The woman on the phone, the receptionist, his widow.
No, maybe he did tell me this story and I'm just like blocking out.
Oh my God,
that's so terrible.
Sorry. I was like, I just, it was the name on the contact there. It wasn't, I didn't, somebody sent a fax. He's like, yeah, that was probably my son. We should, he's not here right now. We can deal with that later. Could we get his name taken off the contact list? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Yes. And then we went back to our training class and everybody was like, oh, how'd it go? Oh, yeah, it's fine. And I walked in, they're like, Tony, how'd it go? I'm like, I called the dead guy. And for several weeks after this, the joke was I was the fucking kid from The Sixth Sense. And I was like, I call dead people. And everybody loved that.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, yeah. So my point is, give it time. It's going to get so much worse before it gets better.
Probably.
They're going to put you in a room with a patient and they're going to be behind one of those one-way mirrors. And like, you're just going to fucking lose it. And they're just going to be a bang, bang, bang on the mirror. And you're going to be like, excuse me. Actually, the version I keep seeing is that you're there with somebody and you're talking and you're trying to project calm, but you keep gagging. I don't know why. That's the version. It's like, my name is William and I just, sorry. I'm here to talk. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I'm here to talk to you about your issue. I just, oh God, God, should not have had lunch. Anyway, what can I help you with? That's the version I'm picturing.
I don't think I'm going to be nervous when I'm talking to people at all. It doesn't mean that I won't. I'm not concerned that I'm just going to waste their time.
There we go. Yeah, whatever. You're going to be nervous that you're not going to be effective. I don't think you'll be nervous that.
I'll be able to talk to them. After I'm done talking to them, I'll spend the whole week before I talk to him again thinking, why did I say that? What a waste of time that was for that person.
Good to see you again. I would like to roll back a lot of what I said last week. So it's good. Welcome back. You remember our session last week. Here's a list of corrections I would like to give you before we get
that
started.
That kind of thing. Sure. Yeah.
Well, and if at any point you need guinea pig, I'm here for it. I can even pretend to be a normal broken person rather than the special kind I am. We're over time. We should wrap this up. I got a text. I'm assuming it's not from you. It's not from you. See, now I'm like, next time I talk to my therapist, I'm like, let's do the next session in person. I want to see if there's a difference. All right. So, by the way, this is our Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah, our spooktacular. We forgot.
Worst fucking episode. So bad. I talked about my butt while William wasn't even here. It is not a good episode.
I'll fast forward through that part.
Ghosts, good show. You should watch that. Ted Lasso's the show. You should watch that. I finished the book I was reading, The Killing Moon by N.K. Jemisin. I think you would like it. It is very, very sophisticated writing, such that I think it would take you 8 years to read. But it is essentially a fantasy version of Egypt, of ancient Egypt, where the society is based around the practice of sleep and dream magic. That is based around a Freudian theory of dreams. And it's a really cool concept. And I think you'd really enjoy it. I was a little worried because it's part of a duology. And I was like, oh, they're probably just going to leap right into the second one. And I don't want to go. I like to break up the books. No, it really wrapped up. Like, I wouldn't need to read another. I will eventually read the second one, but it's one of those like several years later kind of things, I think. Things were resolved. So that was nice. Anyway. stay tuned next week for more vacuum packed William. And hopefully Ezzy will be eating by then. And in the meantime, write in. I know we didn't today, but we are going through questions faster. So we need more questions. Not even questions, statements, whatever. Send us things so that we can talk about them. And we will. And go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell me stuff. Or tell William stuff. Also, thank you to Coffee for providing my first ever review of my book on Smashwords, which nice. Has now sold upwards of 11 copies.
Keep them coming.
After I redo the short story that I've been working on that you and other people have read, I'm going to hop right into the second Odd Wings book, because now that I know how the story arc's going to go, I'm jazzed again. So
excellent.
Yes. All right. So go buy my book. It costs $3 and buy our podcast. It's much more expensive. And listen in next week. Come on the blog. Do all the things. Like and subscribe to our YouTube. I don't know beyond that. Next week we will do a spicy chicken wing mukbang, so that you guys will really get into the zeitgeist there with the content. You know you want it.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.